And welcome to Brewocracy, now our weekly roundup of news and events here in Port Townsend with Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow. Hi, John.
Good morning, Tim, and everybody else.
Oh, you're looking good. You're sounding good. We are getting pretty good at this. And just a reminder to the audience, we'll be on for the next, half hour and change. And if you would like to join this conversation, you can find out how to do that on the KPTZ website via Zoom, which means that you would be on the air. Or alternatively, you can email me, tim@kptz.org, and I will ask Mr. Morrow all of your questions, regardless of what they are. John, I didn't know what we were going to talk about today, and then I opened this week's Port Townsend Leader. Just off the top of my head, we have old power poles coming down on Water Street. Mm-hmm. We have a partnership agreement with the Port of Port Townsend. We have a straw ban. We have workers coming back from furlough. We have your own performance report. There are a lot of articles in this week's leader that directly come back to you in your position as city manager, but I will leave it up to you to start off the discussion.
Well, thanks, Tim. It's always a pleasure. And there's been a lot going on. I think it's just fantastic to have our local media attuned to what's happening, and clearly there's probably a lot more that's not printed or discussed in the radio that's going on. So, Tim, you mentioned a few. The work of the city continues even during a pandemic here. I mean, we're working in partnership with the PUD on enhancing Water Street and removing some old poles. It's sort of the final step in creating a better environment for everybody. I don't know how many people are huge overhead line electricity fans out there. Undergrounding provides a lot of benefits. It's actually quite expensive, but we're getting some of that done as per what's in the paper today or this week. You could also find more on our website. We put up a press release that has a little map of the area of Water Street that those poles are being removed. Tim, you mentioned there's a meeting. I believe KPTZ is going to live stream this evening. It's a group called the ICC. It's a coordinating group of a larger group of 16 elected officials representing the port, the PUD, the county, and the city, and a smaller group, including myself and the other executives at those organizations, and an elected member, meet monthly, and that is being live broadcast. And we're discussing a number of things, including a pretty ferocious timeline to get to a recovery and resilience plan related to COVID. Reports back from some of the groups, the community groups that have been out and running on issues from broadband to food system resiliency to human services, child and families, jobs and economy. There's a range of efforts going on. And I think now is the right time to thank the community and thank the numbers of people who've come together to start the conversation start some quick action and working together on that. Tim, you mentioned a few other things. There was my review, which I won't touch that one directly. Maybe except to say that as I did during the council meeting, I've only been here for about 7 or 8 months, and it's a very unusual time to lead, no matter where you're at. It's a very unusual time to work or just exist. And so, even though it seems like there's general satisfaction with how well my team and I are doing, I would ask people to reserve judgment until maybe later in the game when there's a more consistent pattern of how well I'm stewarding the city from my perch. And the tool that council members were using really left a bit to be desired. It's imperfect. And so they didn't have all the information they might need to be able to make a true assessment of my performance. So it was nice what came through, but I just want to make sure that people don't think I'm high on myself thinking that big marks mean that I've got it right. We've still got a lot of work to do.
A bit of modesty, I think, from John Morrow for what seemed to me to be a quite impressive review for given the time that you have been here and the complexity of the job. I'd like to, unless you have a question from online, do you?
No, I've gotten I get a number of questions every day, but no, if you want to dive into my, I've got plenty I can talk about what's going on with the city, but
okay.
I'm always curious to hear what you have to say.
I was a little curious about the partnership contract with the Port of Port Townsend. What does that mean? Has it been done before? And what do you expect the outcome to be?
That's a great question. I think you listed a number of things that I didn't quite capture all of them in my memory. So thanks for coming back to some of those things. Just backing up a couple months ago, we in the port, I mean, honestly, ever since I started here, I mean, that's been a primary relationship that's hugely important. And I'd say the same about a number of organizations. But, you know, in particular, you know, the port, the PUD and the county have a relationship with the city as general purpose, elected bodies and organizations that serve the public. And irrespective of what we've done in the past, it's just clear to me that those are critically important relationships. Now, I'm lucky to not just spend a lot of time with my counterparts in those organizations, but really like them. And we have fierce disagreements. We don't always see it eye to eye, but we certainly see eye to eye how we need to collaborate and get together and work out solutions when we partner. And it's just been super rewarding. It's actually one of the most exciting parts of my job. So a real hat tip to Kevin and to Aaron and to Philip for bringing that kind of partnership to the table. And to the elected members that we all report to for being up for it. And so, you know, just backing up a little bit, we've got this, I don't know if listeners know that we have a 30-mile pipeline that delivers our water to our water treatment plant. You know, this is a year for negotiating with the Port Townsend Paper Company on that operations agreement and contract. It, lo and behold, goes underneath the runway at the airport. And so we didn't know how deep, what the quality of the pipe was, and they were repaving that. And because of that relationship, clearly, I mean, Aaron and I spent a lot of time talking together, but our teams are actually doing the hard work really, at the real front line. And they quickly worked out that we should probably get a good sense of how deep that is, you know, if it presents a hazard for that paving project. And we quickly agreed with the port to include a carrier pipe under the runway to make sure that no matter what the quality of the pipe and, no matter what the need for capital investment on that facility, which we're discussing with the port right now, that it'd be a bit future-proof. And it was so quick and easy to do with them. And it was actually just a real pleasure. And I hear that from my team that was up there as well as the port's team. That we wanted to create a more general agreement. So what you saw in the paper is us saying, look, that works so well, and there's probably a number of things that we need to work on together, up to the authority that I have to make decisions on budget. Let's just make sure there's an agreement in writing that memorializes that and makes it easy for us to quickly work on solutions without having to take every small decision back to our governing bodies. Now, if that is in excess of my decision-making authority, of course it has to. If we can bring it back to decision makers, then of course we will want to. But if there are emergencies or quick fixes or efficiencies we could work out, this agreement helps us get that done quickly and efficiently.
Well, I'm glad to hear that because, as you said, when you start talking about 100-year-old agreements, when I think of that water line, I think of these, like an old photograph of these city fathers with long beards standing in front, doing the first shovelful. I mean, these things go back a long ways, and the become intertwined with a lot of different entities, I'm sure. So digging out from 100 years of history on such a vital program must be, I'll just call it interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. And I think there's something that came up, I think, when we were talking with council members about this. I think some really astute observations from council on this. They quickly noted that it seemed a little bit over-dependent on personalities. So just because Aaron Berg and I get along really well and we work closely together with the other agencies too, doesn't mean we shouldn't make sure this you know, I think I could probably speak for Aaron. We both hope to be here for a very, very long time. But in, you know, out of duty to the community, let's make it about the organizations. So those agreements don't reflect the personalities of the time. They reflect an institutional commitment to working together on our critical issues and challenges as a community. And those are the kinds of foundational actions that really are important to me. You know, it's important that we set in stone a way of working as agencies. And the same with our community, that we really institutionalize how we work with our community in a better, more creative, more collaborative way.
I do have a question submitted via email to me from, let me see, Alita Greenway. And in your role as city manager, it may be the big issues, it's policing, it's water, but it's also these issues that, and that's what I love about this discussion, the nuts and bolts of the everyday lives here in Port Townsend, and somehow in your role, you touch these. So I'll just read this off to you. She says, this concerns recycling bins. Two places in PT I've noticed there are none. One is at Fort Worden near the canteen store. Lots of people on sunny days and nowhere to recycle in that area. And number two, Safeway gas station. Lots of traffic there. And I noticed very full garbage bags full of glass bottles and cans. That is the question. Well, I guess I'll just leave that to hang in the air for a second. But I think that you get the gist of that.
Yeah. I mean, I think those are good observations. I mean, we do have a system where the community, we have a provider that works on contract with the city to look at both recycling and garbage, for commercial and residential. And so, I can't speak to the specific instances, but I think that observation is something I could easily pass on to the Public Works team to make sure that, you know, we're working in partnership with PM Disposal. And they understand, where some of the pain points are or some of the, missed opportunities for a better recycling rate are or a location of a bin. So you're right, Tim. I mean, I get to look at the big picture and then right down to the detail of an individual recycling bin. But I think that the comments are a really good one, because if we as a community are saying, hey, how can we do this better, then we can take responsibility and bring those observations to the folks doing the work. We can improve the service. And I have to say, I mean, we've made some changes this year to that contract, and people are seeing different rates and people are seeing different practices and different trucks. And we're working out the kinks, I'll just be honest. But I would say, irregardless of some of the concerns that people have on the service or the changes, I do really appreciate DM's approach to really prioritizing, public-facing response. And so, we'll continue to work in partnership with them to get the service right.
Well, I'm always impressed when I go to the transfer station. Number one, there's usually KPTZ emanating from the booth. And the other part is that so many people are so diligent about their recycling. And as a minor, little thing, just an aside, always just stuck in my craw. I guess that's the best way to put it. I have never lived in a place that recycles blue glass, but every place I've ever lived in sells Budweiser in a blue bottle. it's just one of those things. If we can't recycle it here, I mean, I know that certain things we can't touch as a municipality, but it just really bothers me that there are, you can sell things that just instantly get thrown in the waste stream, but I'm done with that.
No, I mean, look, I echo that. I mean, I've lived in jurisdictions that have the kind of scale to be able to do this a lot more in-house. And so, there are facilities that that work through the recycling, and actually have a higher rate. You don't need to worry about lids or that kind of thing. And here, a lid actually steps up the machine, So even though it's the same kind of plastic and it makes logical sense that you'd want to recycle that bit of material, that's actually what is a deal breaker for some of the processing equipment. And I think we struggle with scale here, and we're a community of 10,000 or slightly less. So getting the same quality of recycling is a challenge. And I think your point's a good one. I mean, there's a bigger problem here, or bigger concept. And I think groups like Beyond Waste and Local 2020 have really done a great job digging into the systemic change. And students for sustainability, I mean, you mentioned the plastic straw ban. You know, they understand this at a very complex level, that it's not just about a straw ban and making sure we get rid of some of the materials that might be clogging up our ocean and influencing our marine mammals and might not have a dire need if there are suitable alternatives. But it's a more circular economy is a desirable thing for all of us. And to some way, and not to downplay recycling, because it's critically important, but recycling is kind of like the least efficient way of dealing with the circular economy. You know, there's a whole host of things like reusing, repurposing, not needing in the first place, creating efficiencies, where recycling is kind of the end of the line for a lot of things. And if you can't find another use or you can't, you have to use something that's disposable, then it gets recycled. And that recycling in some cases, particularly for plastic and paper and some things, it actually is pretty energy intensive. You get a good rate of return for things like aluminum cans because it's valuable and because it has it can be recycled over and over and over. But some of that stuff, it's actually not a great solution. So to your point about buying the bottles in the first place, where we can actually change not just our own individual practices, but change the system to be far more efficient so that we actually don't even need to think about recycling, because there's a group that I used to work with when I was in my former job that has an international presence and works with Fortune 500 companies on circular economy work. And their chief executive we had out to Auckland, and he would tell the story often. He'd say, recycling is the last thing you really want to do. Of course, landfill is the very last thing. But there's a whole host of other interventions, including just designing the system better.
Well, for those of you that don't know, John Morrow's background is director of sustainability in Auckland, I think. Makes him uniquely situated to speak to these issues that I got on email. So I thank you for that, because it is a delicate balance, and sometimes it's, I think, just a matter of keeping things out of the waste stream, and not necessarily the environmental impact of recycling is not what we think it is often. Yeah. So I'll move on to another question. This one also from the leader, and the leader speaks about the Ad Hoc Committee on Public Safety and Law Enforcement meeting this week, and you are part of that?
Yeah, that's a city council committee, so my staff and I provide the staffing support for that. It's a committee of all seven council members, and its first real meeting is on Monday, that'll be the time where the agenda, the work plan are set for the rest of the term. So for those who want to tune in, I believe KPTZ might be live streaming. It's at 5:00 on Monday the 27th. And it's a special ad hoc committee. So it's meant to sunset in 4, 5, 6 months, I think by the end of the year. And it's really taking on some of the zeitgeist, the spirit of the times here, where there's been questions for law enforcement across the nation and beyond about policies and practice, things like qualified immunity, collective bargaining, and use of force continuum. And this committee, I think, and real kudos to elected leaders in Fort Townsend, they've decided to take this head on and to form a committee. They've said not a committee of three like all the other ones are, that everybody needs to be involved. And we're going to have a public dialogue transparent way through the committee on some of these key issues. And so you'll see, at that first meeting, I'll give a little preview of what I anticipate will happen. Interim Chief Troy Serber will give a background presentation on the PTPD, so the police department here. I've seen the slide deck, and it's good. I mean, it's a really good outline of what do we do? What are the kinds of calls that we get? What are the challenges we have? And it really sets up the committee for a discussion about the work plan. And then each month, because the committee's meeting every month, a couple of those larger issues will come through, and we'll do a deeper dive into those issues, like qualified immunity, collective bargaining, use of force continuum. And it'll allow council members to ask questions. We'll have a sense of, I think as a community, understanding those issues better, because what's true here in Port Townsend is not necessarily what's true in other parts of the country. I'd like to believe we're more on the forefront of 21st century policing, and you know, some of our staffing indicates that. We've got public health professionals and community service officers working with the community unarmed in a very different way than other communities do. But that's not to say we don't have opportunities for change. And so this is a chance for us as a community through the council to talk about the issues, to educate everyone, the council members, myself, the entire community, and then talk about those avenues for potential change and make those decisions as appropriate.
Well, when I look at the list of issues to be explored, and they're what you would expect, mostly, as you said, the use force continuum, legal ramifications of qualified immunity. But one jumped out at me, and this one: the nature, policy, and legal ramifications of police bargaining and the union agreement for Port Townsend police officers. And I have some experience with this in my prior life, and I've found it to be one of the more difficult issues when you deal with this subject. I do believe that in Port Townsend, correct me if I'm wrong, the officers are represented by the Teamsters.
Yes.
So we have a municipality of 10,000 people, and we have a Teamster bargaining unit, that there may be some complex issues in there. It may be a bit of a David and Goliath. I don't know. I'm just wondering, do you anticipate that to be complex, or how do you see it going?
Well, I mean, I think it's anybody's guess, really, but I will say that, you know, in the conversations, it's Teamsters Local 589. I mean, reflecting the fact that we've had an interim chief who's a shop steward and renegotiating the collective bargaining agreement this year, which expired at the end of this year, was just not a desirable. The timing wasn't right, and we agreed very amicably that that's something we could postpone for a year, so that now it expires at the end of 2021. And so, you know, my first, you know, interactions with negotiation and trying to think about the right timing, we're very pleasant ones. And so I'd like to believe that we're on a path where, at least with the local Teamsters, we're in a good relationship. And I think you rightly say, you know, these issues are much larger than our small town. There's sort of approaches that will be it'll require us to understand the constraints, I guess, you know, the constraints of these agreements, the constraints of RCWs and the Employment Relations Commission and what we can do statewide. And I think you'll find with some of these issues that are coming to this committee, I think the basic takeaway message is, wow, it's actually very complex, like you say. You know, it's not we can just barrel in and make quick changes and then go home. I mean, this is something that requires careful conversations. It requires coordination across jurisdictions, not just locally and regionally, but statewide and even federally. You know, some of the things related to qualified immunity, I mean, there are federal issues there that we can't just ignore as we talk about the policy changes we could or want to make here. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, we've opened up that conversation with our state delegation, and I'm happy to say a few words to a couple of our state delegation representatives a couple weeks ago about this, leading into the next session. And I would imagine that this area will get some focus in the upcoming legislative session next year. And, you know, our delegation is likely to carry some of that water from our conversation here. So if we can set up the complexity of the conversation, understand what it means for a town like Port Townsend, and signal to our delegation what we need at the state level, a lot of those levers we won't be able to pull directly. They'll be state or even federal. To me, the upshot is working together on changing the system is critical if we're actually going to get there.
Well, we do what we can, and I appreciate personally the fact that there is a city council that is amenable to taking this dive into something that can be difficult and not always easy, not always acceptable for everybody.
Yeah. Could I say, Tim, I mean, I think one of the things that I'm catching is I have this vision, which is perhaps a bit, unrealistic, and fully, but if I could just be clear, but our community has the ability to really know each other, know ourselves. And I envision a Fort Townsend where, that's part of the reason why I'm here is that there's such great civic dialogue and such involvement and such passion for this place and it's the community. There are also some tricky issues that divide us. And this is one of them that I think if we don't do the right way, instead of building understanding, we could build conflict and polarity. And that's not good with whatever issue it is. This isn't an issue of are you for police or against police, or are you for Black Lives Matter or against Black Lives Matter. I mean, that's not the right conversation. I think maybe not universally, but I'd like to believe this community believes in race and social justice. I'd like to believe this community believes in a responsible and effective law enforcement and public safety function. The question should be more, the conversation should be more, how do we achieve that together? And it requires some uncomfortable conversations about our past as a nation, as a community. It requires some real patience with each other as we listen and we listen to people's experiences that might be very different than yours or mine, even in this community. And we aim to try to get it right. And instead of a dividing conversation, it becomes a uniting one where everyone sees that you don't have to take a side here. You just have to be part of the conversation and everybody can win from it.
Well, and I think that hits the nail on the head. By the way, you're listening to John Morrow, City Manager, Port Townsend. We have just another few minutes left, but what you said is correct. And from the people that I've spoken to, and just speaking for myself, I have a very positive outlook on our local police, Port Townsend Police. And I think that many of us just want to make sure that people that don't look like us have that same experience, because we don't know. And so I think that having this dialogue is a good way to settle those concerns towards fairness. That's all.
Yeah, and confidently. I really believe in our police team. I mean, I really think that the more I understand what they do, the more I'm grateful that that's who is protecting and serving us here. I think it was F. Scott Fitzgerald who said something. The mark of first grade intelligence is to carry two very competing thoughts in your head at the same time. That doesn't mean that everything's just fine and dandy. That doesn't mean we don't have an institutional and structural racism problem, which is actually something we struggle with nationwide. And for us to believe that we are not pulled into that as a community and somehow isolated, I would argue is very erroneous. Actually, that's systemic. That means that we're all part of that. And so how can we both hold the fact we need to think about how we change how we treat everybody, and that there have been historic wrongs, as well as be grateful for the men and women who keep us safe here and provide these really important services. And we could do that at the same time without picking one over the other.
Right. Well, on a separate issue, since we just have a few minutes, just my observations again from walking downtown. It was quite vibrant a few days ago. There seemed to be a lot of families. More younger people. That's why I know they're tourists. The median age dropped down a bit here last weekend, I think. The Open Streets Initiative, from what I've seen, has been quite successful. The restaurants that have had the outdoor seating, they were full when I was there anyway. Have you had any feedback on that?
I've had a lot of people, I don't want to discount those who have concerns about the use of public space, but here we are, in a crisis, trying to understand how we're agile and nimble and think differently about the things we take for granted, like the public space outside where we usually park our cars. And so I think this experiment has largely become one that most people have said, hey, nice work. I think we now have 5 demonstration streeteries in place, so it's nice to wander around town and see them up and running and actually being used. Feel like we're taking some of the pressure off those businesses and their ability to accommodate, safe physical distancing. I'm getting mostly positive responses. But I think I said a couple weeks ago, I would be surprised if the restaurant community generally isn't supportive, because there aren't too many downsides to them for this. Of course, I'm sure there are perspectives I'm not articulating here. But for other businesses of different kinds, there are constraints that this causes. And so I think what we've always tried to do is work with PT Main Street. Our public works director has just done fantastic work. And so is our community service officer and the police team, building those relationships and understanding what people's needs are, and whether that's ADA access or more frequent turnaround and parking so people can get in and out of a shop that might not be a restaurant. Those are considerations that we continue to hold with ourselves as we move forward. But largely a thumbs up, I have to say, Tim. Nice to see.
I'm glad to hear it. The first time I saw this concept in action was in Salida, Colorado, which is like Port Townsend on steroids in some ways. And they had the same type of platforms on the street. And I thought it was amazing because they had the fences came off at the end of the season and a forklift came and stacked them all on top of each other until summer, when they pulled them back out again and put umbrellas on them. And it was just kind of a nice experience. And so I'm kind of glad to see something along the same lines here. We are out of time. You've been listening to Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow. John, I'm so glad you made it, and everything is working technologically. And remember, we're going to do this again next week, same time. So think about some questions.
I'd love to actually have a dialogue with the community where I get to ask the questions. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
From the tables there. Tim, it's always good to see you here on Zoom. Thanks to the community for listening, and look forward to the next conversation.
Well, thank you so much, John. You are tuned to KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend.